And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You are now tuned in to The Pastor Spot, a weekly radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship. My name's Terry Tackett, and it is my extreme pleasure to introduce in the studio, back with us today, not via telephone, but actually live and in color, in person here, the host of the show, Pastor Steve Whitaker. Hello, Pastor.
Hi, Terry. It's good to be in here. Last taping of the month, I thought maybe I'd come in and see everyone. You know, and for those of you that wonder why my mask isn't on, Terry, we are about 6 feet apart, are we not?
Oh, yeah.
So I just tell my kids if they see this, I came in with it on.
You did.
But, hey, it's good to be here with everybody. I am Pastor Steve Whitaker of Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio, and just great to be here and talk about the Word tonight and about God a little bit and what's been going on in the community, and just have a good Pastor Spot show. How's that? Huh? You know, you can call in if you need anything here. Certainly you can call in if you want to discuss something at 740-383-9944, and you can always reach me at the church at 740-494-2222. If I'm not in, just leave a message. I'll be glad to get with you. I'd give you our church address, but I don't see the point right now, being the fact that we're not going to be coming into church for a while. You know, we've been doing some neat stuff. We've met in the park a few times and had drive-in services. We didn't last Sunday because it was raining, and so I don't know what'll come up this Sunday. We'll either be in the park, or we'll be or I'll try to live feed again. And it's difficult because when you're live feeding, just like with this feed, something may pop in the middle of it. It's really frustrating when that happens. But anyway, we'll do the best we can tonight. And it's good to see you. You look good, Terry.
Thank you. Thank you. It's real good to see you. Like I say, I was pleasantly surprised when you came through the door. I was like, all right.
Yeah, I just thought I'd come in. You know, we're all starting to miss people, miss seeing people.
Yeah.
I was over at two of my grandkids' house today. I dropped something off, and I was outside, you know, waving from the windows, and, you know, that gets tiring. I'm like most people know me. I am a very demonstrative person when it comes to hugging and that kind of thing, and, man, it just, you know, it makes you feel like not another day of this separation stuff, but, you know, I guess we're keeping that curve flat. It's keeping the hospitals from being rushed, and I know that my kids probably appreciate it. My daughter-in-law and my daughter both work at the hospital, and the one daughter-in-law I know takes care of patients. Well, probably both kids do. I'm not sure. They don't share much with me, you know, all that HIPAA stuff.
Right.
But I know that there's a lot of people out there. And then we got our EMTs and you know, people out there in the field, the paramedics, and going on these runs. They don't know what they're picking up, and it's just a lot of stuff out there. But, you know, I'll tell you, I don't want to talk too awfully much about the COVID thing tonight, and I'll tell you why. I was sitting there watching the news this morning with my wife, and every story was something to do with it, every story. And I thought, you know what, I just want to hear something different for a change. And I realize it's out there. I'm not saying it's not important. I'm not saying, but I want to hear something a little bit different. And some other news. There are other things going on, right? Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah. There are. One thing I wanted to share tonight that I thought was interesting.
The only piece of advice I want to say is, I know everybody's frustrated. But just be patient, because, you know, hopefully this weekend will be the first step in everybody reopening. But we just got to take it one step at a time here.
I hope so, and I don't want to catch it.
So, yeah, you know, neither do I, but just be patient.
You know. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It came to pass, I'm in Luke chapter 17, beginning in verse 11, okay? And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, Where were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. Only that stranger, that Samaritan, was one that turned back. And he said to him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. interesting passage. A little bit of background on that. First of all, you know, Samaritan was a person that was not held in the highest regard with the Jews to begin with. Because of where they worshiped, some different things, they just weren't, they were considered unclean. But the other thing is that when you had leprosy, you notice it said they stood afar off. Well, when you had leprosy, you couldn't get near people. You think COVID's bad, believe me, they really kept you far off with leprosy because there was no known cure for it. And it just was flesh-eating, and it was just a horrible, horrible, horrible disease. Still exists in places in the world today. But one of the rules in the Old Testament was that before you could be allowed back into society, you had to go to the priest, and the priest had to witness that you were healed, you had no lesions, you were healthy, and then you could go back into society. So Jesus, these 10 men, and they yell out to Jesus, "Master, please heal us." They obviously knew of Jesus and the good that he did. And Jesus said, "Go your way to the priest," and they did, and of course he healed every one of them, okay? But there was only one that came back and glorified him and thanked him and praised him for what he did. And the other nine just went their way. So Jesus says, you know, "Hey, weren't there nine of you? Ten of you? Where are the other nine at?" And obviously, there was only one that cared enough to come back. And then he says, you know, "Your faith hath made you whole and made you well." And here's the point that I want to make with all this, is that many times we beg and beg and beg and ask for healing and ask for certain things, ask for the Lord to deliver us, all these kind of things. People are always, you know, they'll call the pastor and they'll want help and prayer and you know, "I'm going to start coming to church," you know, all this kind of stuff. And just like in this case, you know, once things get better, you don't see them anymore. And Jesus said, look, to this guy, you know, these guys might have been healed physically, but this guy was healed spiritually, which lasts forever, all the way through eternity. Now, which one do you want? A temporary healing or a permanent healing? And that's the whole point. A lot of people, they want God's blessing, but they don't want to turn and love God in the process. It's just like God's a genie in a bottle. You know, you rub that bottle and, or you know, maybe, you know, he's the confectioner in a candy store. You know, just one, and it's really sad because I know that one of the things that is hard now, I get so many prayer requests from people, and so many people say, "Oh, Pastor, pray for this, pray for that, pray for this person." And I love to, don't get me wrong, and please don't stop them coming in. I love praying for people, and we need to do that. But the point is, when God delivers you, when God delivers that situation, don't forget him. Don't walk away from him. Don't decide, "Well, you know, you know, God took care of me this time. I'm just going to go do my own thing again. And when I need him, he'll be that, you know, he's going to be right back there again. I'll just go rub the lamp again." And, you know, God doesn't work that way. You know, God says that he won't be mocked. And God means that. And I just, you know, encourage people, don't just go for that one-time blessing that you might think you're getting. You know, go for everything, because what he promises is an amazing life. You know, we can accept Christ as Lord and Savior, and that's wonderful, we're promised a place in heaven, but he can give us a life so far more abundant, not only in here, but in eternity, if we just make a decision to follow him. And I don't know about you, but if you truly believe that it was God that did the healing, or God that delivered you from the financial situation, or it was God that did these things, wouldn't you desire to follow him anyway? I mean, that would make sense to me. But it's kind of sad, and I'm sure that, you know, it really hurts God to say, you know, wow. You know, when he said, "Where's the other nine?" You know, it was like, wow. I wish all 10 had come back and followed me and had faith in me, but only one did. And that's a sad state of affairs. I think that many times people just use the church as almost like a piggy bank. You know, they put a bunch of prayers in, and maybe a piggy bank's the wrong thing to say. What I mean is they just make withdrawals, but they never make deposits. I guess that wouldn't be a piggy bank, would it? That would be mom's piggy bank that you raid.
An ATM.
An ATM. But people make withdrawals, but they never make deposits. And I'm not talking cash. You know what I mean.
Right.
I'm talking about, you know, trusting God, deciding to follow Him, read His Word, grow every day, share His Word with other people. You know, I just wish that I saw more of that. I know that initially with what we've been going through lately, and I won't mention that word because I said I wasn't going to talk about it. What we've been going through is a lot of people had started to slow down and think about, you know, praying more, praying for people, doing these things. And I hope that as we get back into more of a routine of getting back to that we don't just forget about God and go on our way. You know what I mean? Because I fear, you know, like I said, God isn't going to let us mock Him all the time. He's there for us. And, you know, the cool thing about God is He gives us chance after chance after chance after chance. But there's going to be a day when the chances stop. You know, when you know, God knocks on the door, are you going to answer? You know, that everyone's going to, at some point, they're going to draw their last breath, and they don't know when it's going to be. I've heard of people lately that's happened too. That, wow, you know, that reminds me. A prayer request for those of you out there. A friend of mine, Becky, her niece, only a 40-year-old young lady, just died this last weekend. She'd had a heart transplant years ago, and the heart just decided to fail, and she died. And so keep you guys out there, keep Becky and the family and the girl's mother in prayer. But, you know, a lot of that stuff happens. This is a wonderful time for people to get plugged into the church. They say, how can I do that, Pastor? I can't even go to church. Well, on my church, our church page, Community Christian Fellowship, Facebook page, Sunday messages are there. I've been putting on reruns of this, old ones. I've been putting on, trying to update every couple days and giving people encouragement. So it's there. Another thing that I'm posting on there that's really cool on the Community Christian Fellowship page is my sister Patty, who is been a kindergarten teacher for, she'll probably say I'm wrong, I think 43 years, long time, and she's an excellent storyteller. And she's been going on every day with her students because she's still teaching but can't be there. She's been going on and doing Bible stories as one of the things she does. She teaches at Christian school. And so she's sending me the Bible stories, and I'm reposting them on Community Christian Fellowship's page. So if you got kids out there that want to hear a really good storyteller, tell some good Bible stories, I encourage you to go onto the page and listen to Patty teach the kids.
Now tell them that's on your church's?
That's on the Community Christian Fellowship Facebook page. And, you know, just so many neat things out there. I had something really cool happen today. I got a couple books and an encouraging letter from a friend I went that I haven't seen in 40 years, but we went to high school together. And it was very encouraging. The letter was, and I needed that. We all need encouragement. We truly do. And it's nice when sometimes, I don't know, things come that you don't expect. Let's just put it that way. And sometimes at the most opportune time, not inopportune, but opportune time, when the right encouragement. There's a man named Tom that comes to the church when he can make it. He lives in Columbus. And Tom is fantastic at sending me just note cards. How you doing, Pastor? Praying for you. You know, just encouraging stuff. Man, that stuff, I want to encourage you, everyone out there, do that. You know, let people know, you know, and try to encourage them. And, you know, we're still doing a lot of the meals and stuff we were doing and a lot of different things to encourage people. But it's, I guess the thing that I find difficult right now, Terry, is and I think everyone is to a bit, is the uncertainty. I mean, everybody wants to see a goal that we're moving towards, and the target keeps moving. You know what I mean? First it was 15 days, then it was 30, then it was, well, what's next? Are we going to go back to school next
45.
Year? Yeah, or when are we going to get in church again? I will promise you one thing. I believe that we need to be in the church. We need to be meeting together. But I am thank you out there, thank you church family, for the faithfulness, for the contact, for the love, the support, the listening to the messages online. Oh, what a blessing that is. But you know what's really cool about it, and I shared this on the show last week, is that other pastor friends of mine, and my brother is doing a drive-in online thing and a thing during the day, and at his church in, he's in Wisconsin. I've got a nephew in Michigan. I've got a friend, Tom Walker, that's in the west side of Columbus. Who else do I got? Dave Frazier, which is in Lebanon, I think, Lebanon. And Jack Helton. All these guys are doing cheer-ups and messages. And what's really cool is I can watch those now, and because they weren't there before. And now I can watch those guys, and I can get great encouragement from it, and then look up scripture they talk about, and it helps you grow. But all those things are available on there. And if you request from me on the church page, hey, I like some of those pastors, you know, I'll ship those messages to you. They'd be thrilled. But it is a time of encouragement. And all these guys are doing just bleeps. I think Dave Frazier's, he calls it the 3 minute something, but it's only 3 minutes, and it's great. It's encouraging and it's uplifting, and you know, everyone's just doing a relatively short thing, as I have been too. But I think we're going to get through this fine. I just hope that we learn from it, that we all take something, and I encourage you out there to do that. When you're going through this stuff that is so hard, just think about, what is something I can take from it? What's something that will help me? One thing I've noticed really interesting, and I'm not going to mention the word again, but of why we're doing this, but I have been trying to buy 16-ounce peat pots that you transplant into. There, you can't find them anywhere. Everyone, you go to like TSC, all the garden shelves are all that stuff's about gone. And people are actually doing that stuff. But I found a way around it. I actually got around to cleaning my shed and finding a bunch of pots the other day. And Shirley gave me a couple sleeves of paper cups and, you know, still able to do that stuff. But, yeah, that stuff's disappearing. And I pray that people do start gardening a little bit and feeding themselves some and learning, teaching it to their kids how stuff's produced and, you know, what's going on.
So. I've seen some interesting things, you know, down where I work. I mean, you know, as far as outdoor projects, a lot of retaining walls and mulching and, you know, just that kind of stuff. You know, fire pits. A lot of people are still having their bonfires. They said now they're just having what they call a social distancing bonfire.
Social distancing bonfire. You know, with that heat going on in a fire, I don't think you're going to have to worry too much anyway. But no, it's kind of neat. I think that, you know, the governor said today that people were complaining about not going to the state parks. And he said as soon as we figure out a way to keep them from being too close to each other once they're at the park, we'll figure this out. And a friend of mine, Arlene, posted this. She said, wait a minute. Is he telling us up that we're not grown up enough to figure that out for ourselves, whether we need a distance or not? And that's true. I mean, you know what? If you're not going to social distance, camping out at a park in the wide open area, you're not doing it at home anyway. Right. And most of the time you're camping with your family that you're around. Open these parks up and let people out, you know. How do we get back on this subject?
Yeah. Well, like I told you earlier, I mean, a guy, I'd seen a guy who said, you know, the argument was today, was why can't I have 50 people on my patio for, you know, at a restaurant when Walmart can have 575, you know?
You know, and that can be some people feeling a legitimate argument. Well, you know, is the 50 people necessary on your patio? Going to the store, I guess, is. But I think there has to be, I think that we not only have to practice personal responsibility, but I think at some point our elected officials, I won't call them leaders because we're supposed to be the leaders. We lead them, believe it or not. But I think that they need to realize that we can be personally responsible. Yeah, yeah. We're not their little kids.
Right, right.
You know, in some situations, you have to do what you do. You know, be it in schools, be it in some things that you know people are going to be crammed up together. But, and you can't tell me that in some of these factories have been operating from day one, that everyone's keeping distancing and keeping all that. So I can understand where somebody that feed people, you know, if you've legitimately got a restaurant and you have made a plan to keep people apart. You know, go. I don't see why you can't feed people. Well, now, I do agree with the bars being closed.
Well, like in this gentleman's case, he was telling me that, you know, he was advised by, you know, some officials to put his tables 10 to 15 feet apart. So he did it, and then still.
Yeah. I know with the bars, you know, I'm sure.
I know it's a little different.
A little different. You know, people get 3, 4, 5 beers in them. They're not doing anything they're supposed to be doing anyway, would be my guess. So I could see that. But I don't know. We're going to come through it. I hope we learn a lot from it. I know that I have faith in God, and that is just a blessing with me. And I pray that everyone else can do that, too. That's the important part of this, is trusting God that to not only get us through it, but whatever the outcome is, we trust him with his decision.
Yeah.
You know, versus what we think might be the right way to go.
Sure.
I would love to see a lot of people. It's kind of funny. People will tell me, hey, Pastor, I got something I need to get to you, but it's going to have to wait till this is over with. Well, I guess it is.
Yeah.
But, we have this wonderful Word of God, you know, that is just full of everything. And I hope that people are taking the time to open it and read it and share with other people and teach their kids and do all those things they're supposed to. I heard on the news today that the dark web had something like 75% more hits on it than it had been because people trying to pirate and download stuff. Man, get off that thing and open your Bible. You know, honestly. That's coming from a pastor, but I have a pretty good resource up there that tells me that's what they ought to be doing. So what have you been doing differently? Anything?
You know, Pat, I just really been, I mean, besides coming here, I really, and work, I just really stay home. I mean, once in a great while, I'll do some shopping somewhere, but other than that.
Yeah, Shirley and I have been, we don't do much shopping. Our kids do it for us.
Yeah.
They don't want us in the stores. And I had to go do some stuff the other day, and every now and then you have to stop and get a couple things. And matter of fact, I picked up a couple things today I had to have, but for the most part, and I'm doing on a small enough scale that I do practice, you know, mask, you know, the gloves, whatever else I need to be doing. And there's a lot of people that aren't.
But,
And, you know, people have a right. You know, if you don't want to do that, don't do that. I think that out of common courtesy for other people, you should do it for the simple reason that you don't know if you're carrying something you're going to give to them.
What gets me is that I think I've shared this story with a million people is that, you know, I'll be working and I'll have these people that'll come in and, you know, when I'm working at Kroger, and they'll come in and they'll have a mask and gloves on. They'll buy cigarettes and they're worried about the tray that I slide back in instead of the actual cigarettes themselves.
Well, you know, they've been letting cigarettes kill them for a long time, so they're not going to worry about that too much.
It's just amazing.
It's kind of
last week's trying to open it with their elbow, and
I guess they figure the cigarettes are just getting more time, right?
I don't know.
We live in a different day and age.
I just, you know, like I say, my thing is just with a respiratory disease. I just try anything I could not to.
You know what I kind of wonder is that how many parents and kids alike are going to decide that they want to homeschool after this because they've liked and it's worked well for them. Now I am sure. That there are a lot of kids out there that haven't gone online to do a thing since they were told to day one, and that's bad, and that's got to be fixed. And there's a lot of parents that, hey, they're not cut out to do that.
Right.
And a lot of things, and then a lot of people can't wait to get back to school. But I would be willing to bet that there's going to be a percentage, it may be small, it may be large, but there's going to be a percentage of young people that say, you know what, I love working at home and doing so.
I was saying that the other day. I said, I bet these companies now, a lot of people are so comfortable working from home now, I wouldn't be surprised if.
Now, I heard something about that. I heard that people were at some they were suggesting to some companies that maybe it would make more sense financially to let some of these people work at home. I've got a son-in-law that works from home in the IT industry, and he loves it. I mean, that's where he works from. He's got his home office, and he doesn't have to burn gas. He doesn't have to, you know, do any of that kind of stuff.
And so, I mean, I think we're seeing a lot more that becoming a lot more popular now. Same with the homeschooling, because how many times did you hear in the past before? It's like, you know, everyone always got on the teachers for teaching, you know, and now the responsibility's on them. So now are they as apt, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And I But, you know, some people are cut out to teach and some aren't.
Right, right.
And I don't know how it'll turn out. But I think we're just going to see some differences. I know that I've been working. I've been still going in the office every day. I just, you know, it's not like it's not someplace I'm not at every day in my office. And yeah. I'm not one that's going to sit at home and well, I get too distracted.
But your staff's not there, though, right? I mean, so.
No, I mean, there's.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, you know, so it ain't like.
Shirley's there with me.
Right. And, well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I mean, but you don't, you're not surrounded.
We got a couple regulars, but, oh, okay. but they know how to, what to do.
Right, right.
We certainly don't have anyone. I know Sunday I gave a message Sunday, and we had right at 10 people there, okay. counting me.
Oh, okay.
And between someone doing sound, Holly singing, and the different people here there doing, you know, and everybody was spread out, so we were fine.
Are you just doing services 10 people at a time, or are you doing...
No, I mean, just telling you that I did an online service Sunday, okay. but it was videotaped, but it was there were 10 people in the building.
Right, I thought you might do like this 10, then when they leave, then another
10. Oh, man, that'd take forever.
I didn't know.
Now, I have thought, to be honest with you, I think a way around this thing might be, if it goes on for an extended period of time, to possibly do some alternating of one way or another to get people...
Multiple services, you know.
Multiple services, and because I think that you'd be okay if you distanced by family. You got to stick to those numbers.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's nothing wrong with a family that's living together, sitting together, right?
Right.
But then maybe five seats over, there's a husband and wife that are together, or 6 feet or whatever that is. I don't know how it's going to play out. You know, I'm going to trust God with this one and keep praying every day and trying to encourage people. And I will say one thing that I'm our giving has not slacked off a bit, and I praise God for that, because everything still goes on, you know, bill wise and our people have been very, very faithful that way, and people are trying to do what they can. There's several ladies in the church, and a couple, two or three in the church, and there's several I know out of the church that are just making masks all the time, and just for four people. I mean, they're not charging for them, and this is one that I believe this was Sherry Baxter made this mask, and thank you, Sherry. It works quite well. People doing that, and I've liked seeing that. I've liked seeing that people are just trying to help anyone and everyone they can. And there's a lady in town I know, Angie, that's making a bunch of them, and a lady named Ashley that's making a bunch. There's just a slew of them making masks.
I know. I've seen that thing on Facebook or something. I've seen where the Joanne Fabrics is giving you free fabric if you're making them.
Oh, really?
Pull up to the curb, and they said they'll.
Oh, no kidding.
At Joanne's.
That's pretty neat, isn't it? I wonder if you get to pick the pattern.
That's what I was getting ready to say. Now, you probably can't pick and choose, you know, but.
Mm-hmm. I had a real nice one that lady named Ashley made me that had a Farmall tractor on the front,
uh-huh.
and it was really nice. And I put it in the microwave. I'm embarrassed to say that.
Oh, boy.
But I stuck it, and I no-sooner hit the button. I didn't realize she had put a coat hanger sewn into it for the nose.
Oh.
Baby, that baby went up right now.
Oh, geez.
But I was able to cut off the burn and still use it. Shirley re-sewed it for me, and it's all good, but dummy. No, there's a lot of people doing some good things out there. And one thing that you all can pray for that is real, I think, really important that we do pray is that there's a lot of kids that need school. And I'm not just talking about the education. There's a lot of kids that their refuge is school. Home life is horrible. And their school time is their chance during the day of some normalcy. And they're not getting that. And if all you believers out there, I know there's a bunch of you, I see you popping up on my screen. Please pray for these kids. Lift them up in prayer tonight. So many of these kids, I just, my heart breaks for them. In my mind's eye right now, I picture several of them that I know who they are, and it's just hard. And that's definitely a downside of some of this stuff. But, you know, if we come out of here and more compassionate people, which we need to be, you know, the greatest gift that we're given, the greatest thing we can do is love people and putting others before ourselves. And, you know, there is no greater blessing than spending the rest of your life putting other people before yourself. you will reap so many rewards and such joy from that. The me first thing, it doesn't make you happy. It really doesn't. And God tells us that through Scripture, you know. And the other thing, too, is that, you know, a lot of times during times like this, and it's something that, is a burden of mine, is that people will say, you know, I really need to get close to God. I haven't talked to God in a while, or, you know, I haven't been in church, or, you know, they'll call you for these things, or they'll talk to you. And it's real interesting because they want that, but then when they realize that it's God's way and they have to do it God's way, then they decide that maybe they don't want to do that after all. Or I'll find somewhere where they say it's okay to do A, B, or C. And the truth is, you know, we have a God that says, you know what, my book is absolute. And either you believe me and you give your life to me, or you don't. And you can't decide that you're going to pick and choose what about God you want to accept. Because he's a God that says, you know, accept all of me or none of me. And you know, I've said many times on the show that many times we know that it's compared to in Scripture, we're called the bride of Christ, and we're compared to being literally a bride. And if you look at that comparison and go back, nowhere in the world would anyone want a bride that was only going to give them part of themselves. You know what I mean? If you're getting ready to go to the altar and the bride says, listen, I want to be your spouse, but only in this part, not in that part. And I don't want to do this, and I don't want to do that. And by the way, I'd like to have at least 20 other spouses. Yeah. You say, you know, I think we better give me that ring back. Yeah. But you know, we do that kind of, you know, God, I need you so bad. I want you. I want that relationship. And then when we look at that relationship and realize that he says, I want you to take all of me, you say, no, maybe I don't want all of you. I'll just take part of you. And unfortunately, there's churches out there that tell you you can do that. There's a huge difference between the church and a false church and a false teacher, and there's plenty of them out there. And I feel bad for those that follow that. And then they're going to end up on a day when the Lord's going to look at them and say, I never knew you. And that's heartbreaking. So I encourage people to, you know, follow the truth, know the truth, know that you can't have a little bit of God in all of me, because he wants to give you all of himself. And the neat thing about that is the more that you surrender to him, the more it doesn't seem like you've hardly surrendered anything. You know, you learn to grow and walk with him, and it's just there's a peace that comes over you that's amazing. Not that there aren't hard times still. Not that we don't go through frustrations. Just two hours ago, my wife said to me, what's wrong with you? Because I yelled about something on the highway. I don't remember what it was. She goes, man, a little tense, aren't we, Steve? Okay. But, you know, I'm not perfect. I run in. But, you know, the point is, I mean, overall in our life, in how we look at life, how we think of the next day, we have peace in our life. And that's so important. What time we got, Terry?
9 minutes.
We got 9 minutes left. 9 minutes. Yeah. 9 minutes. That's we ought to be able to fly through that in just a minute. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't have a clock in here. What happened to your clock?
Behind you.
It's behind me. Yeah. Oh, okay. All I had to do is look in the camera, and I see it back there. Yeah. Anyway, it's been an interesting few weeks. I'm getting all healed up finally from my car accident.
Good.
I got a shoulder that drives me crazy and probably will the rest of my life, or it may eventually go away. It's one of those things, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's difficult to try to keep things going the way they've been going, but we know that, hey, look, there's worse.
Oh yeah.
You know, there's worse. We live so well today.
Yeah.
One thing I get a kick out of is people saying, you know, complaining about their life, and now that they can't do this stuff, they can't wait to go back to it. Isn't that kind of interesting? Think about that one a minute. I think it's just easy for people to complain.
Once I said about the school earlier, how many times do we hear people complain about teachers, but now that they have to teach their kids, boy, now they love teachers.
They want to give them back. Take these kids back.
Yeah.
Well, and in all fairness, though, those teachers have gone to school to be a professional teacher.
Yeah.
And they should be a good teacher.
Let them teach.
Let them teach. They should be a good teacher.
Yeah.
But parents are kind of getting, parents, the primary teacher of the children is supposed to be the parent. It always has been.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not talking about reading, writing,
like
and arithmetic.
Literacy. Yeah, yeah.
But I'm talking about life and values and all those things that we raise our kids.
Morals.
It is the parents' responsibility.
Yeah,
and unfortunately, in the last many years, they have more and more of that, the parents have handed off because they don't want to be bothered with it.
Mm-hmm.
In a lot of cases, there's a lot of good parents out there, though, I'll be honest. Definitely.
Yeah.
Another group of people that I think you can pray for tonight in the few minutes we have left, I'll mention, is our graduating seniors. This is tough. And, everyone looks forward to graduation. Man, you spend 12 years waiting for that day. Some of us 14.
No,
or 15 years.
You've missed your prom and you've missed.
And I said, well, why can't they just like come back in the fall? Or no, they're all away at their school or whatever life they're doing. You'll never get them all back again. But I will say one thing positive for these seniors out there is that many times people forget all about you once you graduate, and they forget about what year it was, but I promise you, all of you are going to remember these kids that graduated this year because they will be the class that didn't get to graduate. And they'll always remember that date. It's just like those of us that everyone will say, where were you in the 1978 blizzard?
Yeah.
And I can always remember where I was and getting ready to get married the next couple days is where I was.
Okay.
But you always remember those big events, and they're not going to forget about you as time goes on. Probably more than any other class because it is a difficulty. I encourage people to try and contact as many families as you can and reach out to them. And I've got a granddaughter that's getting married in July, and those are definitely, she don't know what they're going to do at that point. Hopefully she'll still be able to, she's going to get married regardless, but wedding plans might have to be altered. Matter of fact, I am, I'm marrying a couple friends of mine this weekend. And they had to change their whole wedding arrangement to where it's just them and the preacher,
Yeah.
And even we'll have to social distance, but
right,
they're still going to get married.
Yeah.
But a lot of changes that way with people, a lot
yeah.
of different things going on. People have had a tough time with funerals, too.
Oh, man.
And the arrangements. Yeah, that's been a real tough
one.
But,
for them.
You need to keep all of them in prayer. But, I think now is a good time. People do have a chance to refocus, regroup. Focus on getting your family in church when this is over with. Now's a good time to tell your kids, give them a heads up. You know what, guys? When we're able to get back to what we're supposed to be doing, this family's going to start attending church because we've needed it far too long. And we're going to do it. And then do it. Don't be like those other nine lepers, that say, hey, we were delivered. Let's go run and forget about who delivered us. And the one came back and said, praise you, God, for delivering me. And it was one of the, mentioning that it was a Samaritan, it was one of the least expected. And God does not judge us by our social class or our acceptance. God loves us, and God responds to us as we respond to Him. And we do need to have that response to God and that prayer every day. I've learned, I'm a slow learner, I think, because it takes me years to get something. You know what I mean? I'm not one of those people that someone says, I told you once and you caught right up. No, I'm a hard head. But as I've gotten older in life, I've learned that if I don't wake up in the morning and literally give the day to God, like it's not His anyway, but I give it to Him and say, Lord, please take my day. Take my day. Guide me in what You'd want me to do. Lord, like the 23rd Psalm says, deliver me from evil. If I don't do that, my day's different.
Mm-hmm.
And I've learned how important it is that when I open my eyes, that God's really, that I need to recognize God in my day each and every day. And I hope that people learn that. I hope that the Lord can use me as a vessel to teach that to people, because the blessing will be huge. It's not my blessing. It's the blessing between them and God. I desire to be used of God in a great way. I don't need recognition for it by anyone but God. And in his time, he will do what he does. But I don't, knowing what I know and knowing where I've been and knowing how much God loves me, I can only want people to know that same love that he's shown me. And he will. You know, they just need to say, yes, Lord. And that's just a simple thing to do. But they really got to do it. Hey, we are at 209 East Water Street in Prospect. If you'd like to mail us a letter, drop us a line, you can do that too. 43342 is the zip. Our phone number is 740-494-2222. And we are also at prospectccf.com. And on Facebook, you can go to the Pastor Spot, or you can go to Community Christian Fellowship. We're on both of them. So, you know, it's not like you can't find us. I'd love to talk to anyone. Just had a guy call me in last week, didn't know him from Adam. But he was going through some issues and needed to talk to a pastor. I welcome that and hope that the Lord will use me to encourage people in that way.
Bring more stuff to you, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that way, through
absolutely.
The Lord, you can.
Yeah, I figure as long as I'm still useful to him, he'll keep me here. I don't know. It's everyone knows that beginning date.
Yeah.
But no one knows the
end.
Date.
Yeah.
And he does. And we just want to serve him till that day in and day out, till that time comes. Terry, it's been good to be with you tonight.
Thank you. I'm
good
so
to see
glad
you again.
Came.
I'm going to have to get masked back up here so I can head out to the road. And
one more time.
God bless all you guys. Please, if you skip this post, share it all you want. Remember that we are also on Wednesday tomorrow at 3:15 and Sunday morning from 8 to 9.
And your number one more time at the church.
My number to church is 740-494-2222. God bless you guys. I'm out of here.
Take care, guys.
You're listening to WWGH.